Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, good morning, Next Level. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. And like Jason said, you now have permission to celebrate Christmas. For those of you who don't know, I'm strongly in the camp of you don't celebrate Christmas till after Thanksgiving. But now I fully embrace Christmas. Our tree is up, our house is decorated, so you have my blessing and permission to do that. So go ahead. As we begin this morning, I just want to give a couple shout-outs. The first is to those watching online. I'm so glad that you're being a part of our service this morning. Thanks for checking in. Make sure you engage with the service. Feel free to throw some comments in the chat. Something really speaks to you. You can let everybody know. We try really hard to create an online community, so it's not just sitting on your couch watching service. So feel free to engage with each other in that community. But thanks for being here and checking us out online. The second group of people is our first-time guests. You know, every Sunday is someone's first time at Next Level, and we try really hard as a staff to create an environment where if it's your first time, it's easy for you to get onboarded to what's going on, and also we try not to be weird and scare you away. So hopefully we're accomplishing those two things. But if Next Level is your church, can you just give a warm welcome to our first-time guests? Just welcome them. Yeah. And the third group of people I want to give a shout-out to and appreciation thank you is those who are serving in our military. We are in an area where there's just a lot of military folks, and a lot of them call Next Level their church. And so we're so grateful and honored to have you be a part of our church, our community, our family, and we're grateful and thankful for your service and what you do each and every day. And so thank you for being a part and defending our freedoms and making sure that we're safe. Can we thank our military and their families? Yeah. Well, we are in a series about the power of our words. And maybe you've checked out the last 3 weeks, and as we've been talking about the power of our words, maybe some things have come into mind. One of the things that continues to come into my mind are moments in my life where I've said something and then instantly regretted what I said. And the thought that comes to mind is, why did I just say that? Right? Maybe you've been there and you've experienced that. Maybe those moments have come into your mind as the last couple weeks as we talked about the power of our words and all that. And so, but that's something that I'm sure all have wrestled with and struggled with, right? We've said something that we've regretted and it is instantly followed up with the thought of, why did I say that? Well, and I know I have. And so maybe you're familiar with The Tonight Show hosted by Jimmy Fallon. And he does this comedy sketch called Hashtags, where he puts out a topic on Twitter and allows his followers to reply back to him with their funny story about whatever hashtag, whatever topic he picked. And so one of the topics he did was, why did I say that? And for some of the responses, take a look at the screens. Hashtag.
Some of my favorite why'd I say that tweets from you guys. This first one's from at Bridget C. Warren. She says, when I was a hostess at a restaurant, I once said to a guest heading into the restroom, enjoy. Thank you.
I will.
This next one's from Angel Steve 89. He says, getting a haircut, barber asked me what I do for a living. I said, advertising. What about you? He replied, I'm a barber. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Well, I thought this was a hobby.
This one's from Chelsea Elise. She said, forgot a guy's name, so I asked how his name was spelled. He looked at me like I was crazy and said, AJ.
AJ.
I thought the J that was silent.
A-Y-J-A-Y.
This one's from Baze Seegers. She said, I asked a clerk, are these the stairs that go up? He said, yeah, and if you're at the top, they go down, too. Crazy how stairs work.
Technology.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
This one's from, this is funny. It's from Doug Walsh 1. He said, I'm a farm boy. When my wife was in labor, I said, I'm not nervous. I've seen this a bunch of times with cows.
Oh. Mistake.
This one's from Want Peace for All. Oh. She says, guy at DMV asked for my phone number. I said, you wish. He said, it's for the paperwork. Do you think I'm cute? This one is from Harbinger. He says, job interview. Me, hi, how are you? Interviewer, great, how are you? Me, I'm good, how are you? When is this gonna end? Yeah.
You're not hired.
This one's from @drock0708. She says, Cop says, mind telling me why you were driving so close behind that car? I replied, because I'm a jerk. Just being honest.
Yeah, I'm being honest. It's my fault.
Because I'm a jerk?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, man. Take care. Cute. This is from at Shay Versace. She says, I finally worked up the guts to speak to my crush. All that came out was, you have cute nostrils.
So we've all been there, right? We've all said something, and instantly we're like, why did I just say that? And sometimes it's harmless, sometimes it's funny, and sometimes it's a little embarrassing, but we laugh about it and move on. But what happens when the stakes are higher? What happens when we say something and we instantly regret it and we go, why did I say that? But it hurts our spouse. It hurts our kids. It hurts those who we love, who we're in relationship with, that we're closest to. What happens when the stakes are higher and it's not just funny? It's not just something that can be laughed off. Our words have power. Our words are incredibly important. What we say is incredibly important. And that's what we've been exploring this entire series of how can we control what we say? How can we make sure that our words, what comes out of them, are honoring and life-giving? And if you're a Jesus follower, for those of us that are Jesus followers, this is incredibly important because ultimately our words reflect Jesus. Our words reflect who he is and his character. Someone's only experience with Jesus may be something that you say. And so for those of us that are Jesus followers, those of us that are Christians, it's incredibly important that what we say honors him. So ultimately, what we say matters. And so maybe we try to spend all this time controlling what we say, right? We teach our kids, hey, you know, if you don't have anything kind, don't say anything at all. If you need to think before we speak. We've all heard those things, and those are great things. They're designed to help us make sure what we say that comes out is kind, is honoring, reflects God. But I think those things fall drastically short in controlling what we ultimately say, controlling the words that we use. And so this morning, I want to look at perhaps the best way to control the words that come out of our mouths, to control what we say, to make sure that what we say honors Jesus. And so our theme verse, the verse that's going to guide our conversation this morning, comes from Proverbs. It's Proverbs 4:23. And at next level, we stand and read the verse out loud. So the verse is going to come up on the screen. I just want to invite you to stand and read aloud with me. Now, when we get to the reference, which is the Proverbs 4, you'll see the two little dots. That's a colon. We think it's a little weird to say colon in church. So what we do is when we get to there, we say dot, dot. So we'll say Proverbs 4:23. And this is an all play. You do it, it'll change your life. It'll get the blood pumping. You'll get awake, and God will speak to you more than if you don't do it. So the decision is yours. So let's read together. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Proverbs 4:23. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for the opportunity to dive into your word and to hear what you have to say to us this morning and when it comes to our words and what we speak and how we can best control our words and make sure that they are honoring you. I ask that you would help us to be open and receptive to what you have to teach us and what you have to say to us. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Now, at first glance, this verse may not seem like it relates to what we have to say, right? Because you read it, there's nothing about words, there's nothing about saying, there's nothing about our mouths, there's nothing about any of that. But I promise you, this verse relates to controlling the words that we say, making sure that our speech honors Jesus. But to see that connection, we actually have to jump to something that Jesus said, and it's recorded for us by a guy named Luke. Luke interviews the 12 disciples. The 12 disciples are Jesus' closest friends. They're the ones that followed him throughout his earthly ministry. And Luke is interviewing them, and he's recording the things that Jesus has taught, the things that Jesus did, said, all of that, and he's writing it down for us. And our verse comes from where Jesus is doing a teaching on judging others, loving your enemies, building a solid foundation for your life. And it's in the middle of this that he says something very interesting. It's Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Here's what Jesus says. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. This is just one verse, but there's so much insight here. See, Jesus is saying, hey, what's in your heart ultimately comes out into the world. That if there's good stored in your heart, if there's good inside of you, that's what's going to come out into the world. But if there's evil, if there's junk inside of you, that's what's going to come out in what you say, in what you do, in your decisions. that what's inside of you is ultimately going to come out. You can keep it hidden for a little bit, but ultimately what's inside of you is going to be revealed to the world. But then he focuses in specifically on the words that we say. Look, he says, what you say flows from what's in your heart. That the words that you speak come from inside your heart. And I think it's interesting that he uses the word flow here. The word flow means to move steadily and continuously. The image that comes to mind is a river. When you see a river, right, it's constantly moving. It's going from the starting point, its origin, and it's moving steadily and continuously until it reaches its destination. And that's the picture that Jesus is painting for us with our words. He's saying that your words move steadily and continuously from what's in your heart. There is a flow that whatever's in your heart is going to go seamlessly, continuously, steadily out to your mouth and out into the world in the form of the words you say. And so then when we look at our words, we say, well, where'd that come from? Maybe you've heard an apology or you've experienced an apology where someone says something hurtful. They say something that isn't right and they're apologized and say, hey, I'm so sorry that those words don't reflect who I am on the inside. That's not really who I am. Jesus says, no, that's not true. Your words reflect who you are on the inside. That the words you say come from who you are as a person. That what's in your heart moves steadily, moves continuously out of your heart, out of your mouth, into the world, into those, to hear those around you. That your words flow out of what's in your heart. And so if we are going to accept that this is true, if we're going to accept that what Jesus is saying is true, is accurate, that there is a connection between what's in our hearts and the words we say, the conclusion that we draw is this. If what we say comes from what's in our hearts, controlling our words starts with guarding our hearts. If what we say comes from what's in our hearts, controlling our words starts with guarding our hearts. That all those things, all those sayings that we were taught as kids, if you don't have anything kind to say, that don't say anything at all, think before you speak, those are all great, but they fall drastically short. The best way to control the words that we say starts with guarding our hearts. Imagine you come to that river and it's polluted, it's dirty, and you want to clean it up. And you just start cleaning up the river, wherever you just walk to it. You start cleaning up the trash and the pollution in there. But as you do that for a little bit, it seems like there's a never-ending flow of trash, of pollution. You're going to continue, you're going to spend your entire life trying to clean up that one point, but you're never going to fix the problem. In order to truly clean up that river, you have to go to the starting point of the pollution. You have to go to the point where the factory is dumping toxic waste, oil, sludge, trash into the river. You have to clean it up there so that the rest of the river can be pure, can be clean. And the same is true with what we say in our hearts. That in order for us to truly watch what we say, in order for us to truly control the words that come out of our mouths, in order for our speech to truly bring honor and life to those around us, in order for our speech to truly reflect who Jesus is, we can't just put a guard at our mouth. We have to clean up the source. We have to go to our hearts and clean up our hearts, because that guard in our mouths, that may stop some things from coming out, but it's going to fall short. That things are going to leak through that, because there is a steady flow. There is a continuous movement from what's in our hearts to our mouths and into our words. And so that brings us back to our theme verse in Proverbs. The theme verse, remember, it says, you know, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, this verse and the entire book of Proverbs is written by a man named Solomon. He's the king of Israel. He's David's son. You may be familiar with David. He's the guy who fought Goliath, beat the giant. And Solomon is his son. And Solomon steps into the rule. He becomes king of Israel and quickly realizes that he is in above his head. He's well above his pay grade. He's underqualified to be the ruler. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know the first thing about being a king. And one night, God shows up and says, Solomon, I'll give you whatever you want. You ask for it, I will give it to you. And Solomon has an opportunity. He can ask for fame, for wealth, for riches, for power. He can ask for anything. But Solomon asks for wisdom. And God gives it to him. And Solomon becomes the wisest man to have ever lived. And his wisdom, his insight, his observations on life are recorded for us in the book of Proverbs. And so as we read through it, know that this is coming from the wisest man to have ever lived. And so therefore, there's some credibility there. There's some importance that we need to pay attention to what Solomon is trying to teach us. And so chapter 4 is a continuation of the first four chapters where Solomon is playing the role of a father, where he's teaching his kids. He's giving them wisdom, insight on how to live life. And we get to our theme verse, verse 23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And the heart that Solomon is talking about here isn't the physical organ. It's not that organ that pumps blood, that keeps blood circulating in our bodies. The heart, the word for heart here means seat or the center of our lives. It's who we are at the core. Our emotions, our actions, our desires, our feelings, our thoughts, our words all stem from our hearts. That it's the seat, the control center, the origin point for all of the things in our life. It's the fountain of all we do. Everything comes out of it. And so this is why Solomon says you need to guard it, because he knows that that if we don't, that the heart is going to influence us and impact. It directs the course of our life. It sets the path of our life. That when we start making decisions, we start living our lives, we start interacting with people, that it's all because of our heart. We go in the direction of our hearts. And this is why Solomon says you need to guard your heart. You need to guard it. But he doesn't just say you need to guard it. He says you need to guard it above all else. The implication here is that we're too passive. The words above all else mean highest priority. That there's nothing more important in your life than guarding your heart. And Solomon says you need to make it your highest priority. Everything else comes secondary. That you need to go above all else, above and beyond, to guard your heart, to watch what you allow to enter into your heart. The implication is that we're too passive, that we take a hands-off approach, that we just kind of sit and coast through life, and whatever comes into our life, whatever we're exposed to, we don't evaluate it, that we don't look at it, we don't question it, we just kind of let it come into our lives, sit into our hearts, that we're too passive when it comes to what we expose ourselves and what we allow into our hearts. Think about the word guard that Solomon uses here. Here are some meanings for the word guard that I think help crystallize this for us. So guard can mean a state of caution, vigilance, preparedness against adverse circumstances. It also means to watch over in order to protect or control, or to protect against damage or harm. The best picture, the best analogy that I can give is when my wife and I became parents for the very first time. We brought our firstborn, our oldest, home from the hospital. We set foot inside our house, and all of a sudden, the weight of being responsible for this life hits us. It's like, it is our job, our responsibility to protect her, to keep her safe, to make sure she grows healthy and strong and take care of her, and make sure that no harm from her environment comes to her. And so we were on guard. We did not take a passive approach. And if you're a parent, you know that feeling, or maybe you've watched a baby, an infant, a toddler for a short period of time, and you can relate to that feeling too. But we scanned the environment. We took precautions. We were proactive. We didn't sit back and just let things happen. We put outlet covers in all the different outlets to make sure that it was safe. We secured furniture. We attached it to the wall so that it wouldn't tip over. We took things that were low, we moved them up high. We got rid of things from our house that posed a threat. And then as our daughter grew up and got older, as she moved to solid foods, we were hyper aware to make sure she didn't choke. We did things like cut grapes into small pieces. I don't know if you've ever cut a grape, but it is hard and it's tedious, and the last thing in the world I want to do is cut a grape. But we did that because we didn't want her to choke on the grape. And so we were on guard, we were hyper aware, and inevitably, because we're human, and you may judge me, but parents, you've been there, you let your guard down for a second, right? You turn away. You need to scroll Facebook because you just need a break. That's when something happens, right? That's when our daughter would flip the bowl of spaghetti on all over her. That's when she would knock over her drink. And sometimes the things were funny and cute and we laughed about it, but other times that she got hurt. Luckily, nothing super serious, but there were times where she would get hurt, where she'd get into something or whatever, all because we looked away. We weren't on guard. We got passive. That's the picture that Solomon is painting. Is that the approach that we take towards life? Are we that on guard with the things that we read, that we watch, that we listen to, the situations that we get ourselves into, the interactions that we have, the relationships that we have in our life? Are we that on guard? Or are we passive? Are we just sitting there going, yeah, whatever. I like this. I'll watch this. I'll read this. I like that person. I'll hang out with them. Or as things come, we're just like, whatever. It's no big deal. I think it's the latter. I think we're too passive. Or maybe you're like, oh, no, I'm on guard. I evaluate things. But the conclusion, we deceive ourselves, right? We rationalize it. We say, hey, I'm strong enough. I can handle that. That's not going to influence me. I'm better than that. Like, I can watch that, I can listen to that, I can be around that person, but I'm stronger. It's not gonna influence me. That is not gonna impact my life. That I'm better than that. But that's not how our heart works. That's not how life works. Think back to what Jesus said in Luke. He uses the word treasury to describe our hearts. A modern day synonym is the word vault. Think about a vault for a second. A vault, you take something and you store it, something valuable, you place it in there, and what does it do? It stays there. It doesn't move until someone comes in and takes it out. That's our hearts. That when we expose ourselves to something, that when something enters our lives, it gets stored in the vault of our hearts, and it stays there, and it sits there for days, weeks, months, years, just collecting the things that we've stored into our lives, the things that we've allowed to come into our lives, the things that we've watched, the things that we've listened to, the things that we've read, the conversations that we've had, the feelings, the emotions that we've stored up. All of those things get stored in the vault of our heart. And then when life gets difficult, when we're under stress, when we're at our weakest, lowest moment, when we've lost our patience with our spouse, with our kids, we reach into that vault and we pull something out. We pull whatever we've stored in there, and we pull that out. And Jesus says that that's where your words are going to come from. That's what's going to come out of your mouth, whatever you've stored into your hearts. To help illustrate this a little bit, I've got this basket. Let's pretend that this basket represents your heart. And I've got two colors of paper. This darker paper, the black, is the evil, the junk that is in the world, in our lives. The yellow is the good stuff, right? And so we're gonna go through an imaginary day, and this is the heart, and we're gonna see what gets stored in the heart. So all of this is fiction. I need that little disclaimer that none of this is based on real people, real circumstances, or whatever. So don't read into that. And be like, who's he talking about? It's all made up. So let's just pretend that you wake up in the morning, and because you love Jesus, the very first thing that you do is you read your Bible and you pray, and you meditate on what God is saying, and you pray and spend some time with him, and that's great. And so there's some good stuff being stored in your heart, right? We'll give you two, because you prayed and read your Bible. So there's two things being stored in your heart. But then you get out of bed, and you start your day, and you realize that it was your spouse's turn to set up the coffee brewer for the morning so that there'd be coffee when you woke up, and she forgot, or he forgot to do that. And all of a sudden, you start thinking, my spouse doesn't love me. That he or she is selfish, that how could they not set up the coffee? And you allow that thought to sit in your heart. Well, there's some junk being stored in that vault. And now you get past that a little bit, and you start going, and you realize that your child forgot to do their homework last night. And this is the 800th time that you've told them to do their homework that day. And now all of a sudden, they have to scramble in the morning, and you are frazzled, you are stressed, you are frustrated, and you're like, man, this child is so irresponsible. They don't get it. And you allow that thought, that view, that emotion to sit inside the vault of your heart. And that's stored there. And then you finally get out the door. You jump into your car. You head to work. And you're like, what should I listen to? And you're like, oh, I heard Taylor Swift just came out with a new album. But all of the songs are explicit. You know what? I don't care. I'm going to listen to it. And so you listen to the entire album of explicit lyrics on your way to work. I'm not picking on T-Swift. I love T-Swift, but, I mean, we'll just call a spade a spade, all right? So you get to work, and now you interact with your coworkers, and they're having a conversation. They're talking about another coworker, your boss, whoever, someone that you really don't like, that you don't respect, and they are talking, and it makes you feel good to be a part of that conversation because you put them down, you lift yourself up, and all of a sudden those thoughts, those feelings about that coworker start getting collected in your heart, and they're stored there. And then you go through work, and you're fine, and you get to your lunch break, and you're like, oh, man, like, it's time for my mid-morning prayer and my Bible reading. So you open up YouVersion, you read the Bible, you spend some time with God at your lunch break, which is good. Good for you. I'm proud of you. And then you get home, and you're like, Taylor Swift's album, that was okay, but I really need some worship music. I'll listen to some worship music on the way home. And so you throw in some worship music on your Spotify, and that's great. But then you get home, and you see that your kid, the same one who's irresponsible with their homework, also forgot to bring the trash cans back in from the curb. And you've told them every week for as long as they've been able to do the cans to bring them in when they got home. And so you start to think those same thoughts again of, my kid's so irresponsible. They're never going to amount to anything. Why can't they do something as simple as move the trash cans to the curb? But then you get home and you step inside and it's been a long day, but you start playing with your kids, you're having fun, and everything is going great, and that's good. You're being a good parent. But then there's some tension with your spouse, and you start to get into a little bit of conflict. You get into a little bit of an argument, and then time slows down, and you're about to say something. And in that moment, you don't physically do it, but you consciously or subconsciously reach into the vault of your heart to pull your next statement out of your heart. When you reach in, what's going to come out? We've stored some good things, but we've also stored some bad things. And there's maybe about a 50-50 chance that you say something good. There's also a 50-50 chance that you say something not so good. And you're going to be in that position of, why did I just say that? And it makes matters worse. So you reach into the vault of your heart, and you pull out, ooh, something not so good. And you say that comment to your spouse. And for the rest of the night, it's ruined in everybody's intention. But then the frustrations with that child who's irresponsible, you start getting ready for bed, it starts to boil over. And there's another moment where you have an opportunity to say something. And once again, you reach into the vault of your heart, and what do you pull out? Ooh, this time you did good. Great. But then you go to your spouse and say, hey, you go to apologize. And the apology is not going the way that you thought it would be. And there's another moment where you reach into the vault of your heart. Say, oh, what am I going to pull out? Just made it worse. This is why it's important to guard our hearts. Because what gets placed in our hearts stays there for our entire life. And when life gets hard, when we're under stress, we reach into that vault and we pull stuff out. And maybe you're okay with a 50-50 chance of saying something good, but I'm not. As Jesus followers, I don't think 50-50 is good enough. Do you want a 50-50 chance every time that you know, every time there's a stressful situation, every time you start to get impatient, every time you get a little frazzled, a little hurried, a little stressed, do you want there to be a 50-50 chance that when you reach into your heart, you reach into your vault, you say something that you're going to instantly regret that brings pain and hurt to those closest to you? I don't. But I think for most of us, there is a 50-50 chance because we do some good things, we do some not good things, we store some good things, we store some junk in our hearts. None of us are maybe 100% evil. We're storing some good things in there. But there's got to be more than a 50-50 chance, right? Especially if we're trying to honor Jesus. I mean, if you're okay with a 50-50 chance, you can tune me out. You're good. But if you're not okay with a 50-50 chance, we've got to change our filter. We've got to guard our hearts. Because controlling what we say starts with guarding our hearts. And so to guard our hearts, we've got to change our filter. So many of us, the filter is, I can handle it. Or this isn't going to impact me, or I can get away with this, or this doesn't feel right, or this doesn't feel wrong. But that filter isn't strong enough. We have to change the filter for what we allow into our hearts. What's that filter? I'm so glad you asked. The filter is given to us by the Apostle Paul in Philippians. And here's what he says in Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. As we're actively guarding our hearts, everything runs through this filter. Everything runs through this checklist. Is what I'm about to watch right, pure, excellent? If it's not, you don't store it in your heart. Is what I'm about to listen to lovely or praiseworthy? If it's not, you don't store it in your heart. Is this conversation that I'm about to participate in pure and right? If it's not, walk away. You don't store that in your heart. You don't put yourself in the position where that's going to get stored in our hearts. My goal isn't to give you a bunch of rules and a list of things you can and can't do. My goal is for you to shift from being passive about what you allow into your hearts to being active, to being on guard for what you allow into your hearts. And it starts with switching the filter. It starts with going from, hey, this is okay, or I'm stronger than this, it just won't impact me, to whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is praiseworthy. That's what I allow into my hearts. Because controlling your words starts with guarding your hearts. Controlling your words starts with guarding your heart. If you're serious about controlling your words, you have to be serious about guarding your hearts. And if you're serious about guarding your heart, you have to be serious about using a new filter. And as you run things through this filter, and as you only allow things that are right, pure, admirable, lovely, praiseworthy into your heart, watch as your words transform. Watch as what comes out of your mouth becomes pure, lovely, admirable, praiseworthy, excellent. Watch as you speak with kindness and gentleness and peace and grace to those around you. Watch as your kids, your spouse, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers all want to be around you because you speak life. You speak encouragement every time you say something. But the only way that happens is if you guard your heart. The only way it happens is if you the only things you allow into your heart are pure, are lovely, are excellent, are praiseworthy, are admirable. Controlling our words starts with guarding our hearts. And to do that, we have to change our filter. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, that's what we think about. That's what we allow into our hearts. Will you pray with me? God, we just thank you so much for your wisdom, for the fact that you care about us, to teach us about how to live our lives, to record things for us so that we can ultimately honor you with our actions, with what we say and what we do, God. And what we're learning this morning is incredibly hard, incredibly difficult, that it takes time. It's not an instant fix, and it's easy to get discouraged and easy to give up and move on. But God, I pray that you would give us the strength, the courage to continually do this, to be on guard every single day, to do the hard work of guarding our hearts, of doing the hard work of evaluating the things that we're exposed to and what we allow to sit into our hearts. Because we know that ultimately it's going to impact and influence the words that we say. And then we want the words that we say to reflect you and bring you glory. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.